This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 179. We were going to talk to AvPoint about AvPoint Citizen Services and Microsoft AppSource, recorded live January 31st, 2017.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by Valid.nl. Valid's motto is stay ahead. Its mission is to enable its customers to excel in their business through the innovative use of IT. Valid is always on the lookout for new colleagues. If you're interested in all things happening at Azure, whether in infrastructure, SQL Server, Office 365, Power BI, SharePoint, or .NET, look them up on valid.nl.
AC.
CJ.
How you doing?
I had a great freaking day, man.
Excellent. Gosh, that sounds very positive.
It is. So, you know, I was injured for the whole race that I was going for, and I missed one race, and I was coming back from stress fracture in my leg.
Yeah, running and that sort of stuff that I'm allergic to. Got it.
Started the day, man, and went back out again. I've done now four runs, injury-free, and I'm back at my pace I was before I got hurt, so still down in the mid-eights. Did 5 miles today, so I've got about a week and a half until the half marathon. So I'm back on track for a PR. That's one good thing.
Nice. That's excellent.
Two good things is, you'll like this, is that I got my Kickstarter-backed Apollo 11 flight plan reproduction.
Stop it.
Delivered today.
I've been waiting for mine. I hope it's in my mailbox when I get home.
So I never got a shipment confirmation. I know that there's been a lot of things, if you look at the Kickstarter, where people are complaining about no shipment notifications. I never got one, but it showed up via U.S. mail. So it doesn't even matter if I got one because it's irrelevant.
Gotcha.
I saw people on the Kickstarter complaining about the quality. Mine's fine. The sorting of some of the pages up front was a little weird. But man, I got to tell you, it's really freaking cool to see like Deke Slayton and Gene Kranz's signatures on the front of it.
Oh, man. So I'm dying. I want to get it.
I'm going to have a nice little whiskey and sit down with this and by the candlelight tonight.
Going to get romantic. Hey, well, in news on this side of the country, I have perfected the art of making perfectly clear ice, finally.
You got some glass over there, it looks like.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, dude. I blogged about it. It's an easy 30-step process.
Easy.
It makes you look like Dean Martin on a weekend bender. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Now, hold on a second now. You said that it's easy, a 30-step easy process. I've been watching for the last 2 weeks in a Slack group that we're in, you going back and forth with a few other people on how to get this right. So it's not easy.
It's certainly not easy. No. But it's completely pointless, let's be fair. But it does make you look pretty sweet and kick ass when you put almost invisible ice in your glass and it's perfectly clear. There's something extremely satisfying about it for me.
There was something extremely satisfying about the picture on Facebook that you took with... You took the picture of the ice with your phone and threw the ice. I can see your wife sitting at the kitchen table taking a picture back at you. And I think that was a mocking picture.
Oh, she was mercilessly mocking me.
Yeah, I get that. Hey, look, I wasn't finished with my good things. I had another good thing today, so I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah.
I told you I had an epic freaking day, man.
That's pretty sweet, dude.
We did congratulations on your ice.
Thank you.
I also did a webinar for Lightning Tools today on the SharePoint framework. We had 1,000 people register and 50% of them showed up.
That's awesome, man. Good turnout.
And all the demos that I was responsible for went great. And the ones that Microsoft was responsible for, SharePoint framework broke. So
the demo gods were not with them, huh?
No. Stuff changed in a matter of 2 hours. Anyway.
Excellent. Hey, well, today's going to be a pretty interesting show. We are fortunate to have two fantastic guests today from AvPoint to talk about Microsoft AppSource, which is a new sort of app marketplace and so forth. But we'll dig into the ins and outs in that in a second. But let me introduce our two guests for the show today. The first is Paul Olnick. He's the Director of Product Strategy for AvPoint, where he helps guide their internal product portfolio and bring new products to market. He's a recognized Microsoft expert, having been named Microsoft Most Valuable Professional, MVP, for the last 5 years, and is a Microsoft Virtual Technical Solutions Professional, a VTSP for those in the know, and a Microsoft Certified Technology Specialist, MCT. That's a whole lot of acronym soup, but welcome, Paul, to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And our second guest on the show is Dux, who needs basically no introduction. If you have anything to do with the Microsoft Cloud world at all, you'll probably know Dux. He's the CTO at AvPoint, and has successfully driven digital transformation initiatives for commercial, educational, and public sector organization countries around the globe. He's a sought-after trusted advisor, author of a bunch of different books, MVP, and authored a number of white papers, industry articles, and so forth, and obviously needs no introduction to our audience. So welcome to the show, Dux.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, AC. Excited to be here finally.
Yes. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show to both of you. We got you onto the show to come and talk about Microsoft AppSource. And obviously, AvePoint, who you both work for, was kind of a pioneer with AppSource with Microsoft from the early days. When we first started hearing about it, at least I heard about it, I think it was WPC last year where it started being talked about a little more broadly, at least. So why don't you give our listeners a quick kickoff with a bit of background about what AppSource is from the AppSource perspective, and then we'll dive into your experience with it and the solutions that you've been delivering with it.
Sure, absolutely. So AppSource is essentially a business solution marketplace for Microsoft. So if you look at the Microsoft cloud ecosystem today, first there's the Azure marketplace, where certainly you can go to Azure for a lot of the IT pros and devs and procure different solutions from partners. But it's very IT pro and dev centric. Example, at AvePoint, we do have our products in Azure marketplace, where essentially you can buy our products in VMs, spawn it, and then take advantage of it. So that's one marketplace, the Azure marketplace. And to our audience, everybody's familiar with the Office 365 or Office Store, where there's a lot of solutions that I would call point solutions that's specific to the Office 365 ecosystem, or even to your local Office clients, where you can get little apps that you can plug in to the entire Office suite of tools. What AppSource is, Think of AppSource as a marketplace for business decision makers or business users that they can get full-on business solution. So we were very fortunate and grateful to be invited to be a launch partner for AppSource, where we deployed a full-on solution for public sector that essentially allows any public sector customer to go to AppSource, look at the solution, and then try it. And then when I say try it, it's not just trying Azure, Office 365, or Dynamics 365, but trying on a full-on public sector solution. And if they do like it, they can deploy it to their Microsoft cloud investment. And if they don't have any Microsoft cloud investment, certainly this technology allows you to pretty much secure a brand new tenant, Dynamics 365 and Azure as well. So in a nutshell, AppSource is a business solution marketplace that Microsoft has put up and intend to grow.
Gotcha. So I guess in terms of differentiation from some of the other catalogs, like you said, some of them are smaller point solutions for Office. Azure Marketplace was more sort of technical heavy, but this is definitely kind of a business-oriented solution type marketplace.
100%.
Excellent. Excellent. So you guys have got a fair amount of experience with AppSource, and you've done this with a product called AvePoint Citizen Services. And like I mentioned, I was at WPC last year and saw you guys mentioned on stage and did some demos and bits and pieces. So would one of you like to give us a quick rundown on what AvePoint Citizen Services is, how you deliver it, and then how it kind of works with AppSource?
Why don't you start, Dux, and I'll pile on.
Sure, absolutely. So in a nutshell, what Citizen Services is, it's a case management solution intended for cities and counties and states so that an organization like that, let's say a city, would have a ready-made solution that allows their citizen to report non-emergency requests. So, for example, like which county do you live in, CJ? King County or which part of?
Oh, King County.
King County. Right? So King County, for example. So let's say
In Woodinville in King County. Yep.
Yeah. So I would imagine that some days you're driving and there might be a pothole or the street light is broken. So as a citizen, wouldn't it be great if you whip out your phone, take a picture, you capture your location, and you hit send. And as soon as you do that, it will actually be routed to the right government agency, and they'll be able to track it. They'll be able to send field workers out there. But the beauty of this solution is it's ready-made. They can deploy it right away through AppSource. Paul, anything else you want to add?
Gotcha. I see. So somebody come to AppSource and go filter on the solutions they might be interested in, take a read, and then they can get straight into it from there.
Correct.
It's kind of an interesting market, and as you might expect, a little bit of a departure of some of the things that AppSource has done in the past and the things that we're sort of famous for. But when you look at this particular market, as Duck started to sort of lead you down, every municipality is responsible for handling these types of requests, potholes, streetlights going out, unsafe you know, crosswalks and things like that. They all have to provide that, but there's no mandate that says, how are they going to handle it? So where you live in Kings County may have an amazing solution with apps and machine learning and all this cool stuff, and the town next door may have like a, you know, a web form that's being hosted on an old server under, you know, somebody's desk in City Hall. And then so there's that sort of market opportunity, even just for the base use case, and then leveraging the cloud and leveraging Azure. There's all sorts of amazing stuff you can start to do on top of that. For example, some of the stuff that, things that we do is, you know, provide turnkey integration with the IoT suite. So if you have smart parking meters, smart streetlights and things like that, those streetlights can report themselves as broken. So the citizen never has to sort of report it and even see that. And then we take all that telemetry on the back end and use Power BI embedded in different things to drive insights about the health of their citizen services organization.
Oh, gotcha. Man, this is something that we definitely could use. And just in my county where I live, we had a pothole that showed up in our neighborhood maybe, I don't know, like 5 or 6 days ago. And over the course of 3 or 4 days, we use a site in our neighborhood. We both use a Facebook group and then also a site called Nextdoor, yep, where it's just everyone's communicating with each other. And everyone assumed that it was reported. And everyone was kind of doing one of these directions, everybody's pointing different directions. Well, lo and behold, yesterday morning, we had about a 10-foot open sinkhole in the middle of an intersection that really cut the neighborhood in half.
Oh, my.
So finally someone called about it. That was nice, but because when I walked in the dog last night, we had a huge like patch in the middle of the intersection. But still, it was one of those things that it was hard for people to report it. You didn't really know who to report it to. Was it supposed to go to the utility company, to the roadworks company? Was it supposed to go to the city? I mean, who are you supposed to tell this stuff? It ended up being a utility thing that had just... And one of the pipes was leaking and it just created a big sinkhole. I mean, we live in Florida. It's not like it's a, you know, it's about as common as pine trees and snakes and alligators, but still, it was one of those things. You need to be able to make it easier to report those things.
Sounds like a utility trench. And so in getting into this, I've become a domain expert. I know the difference between a pothole and a utility trench, Andrew.
AC, you hit on a very, very important point, right? Because while certainly there's similar solutions out there, our value proposition is certainly you can use this technology, AvePoint Citizen Services, to report. But what we, in addition to the traditional citizens reporting, we overlaid it with all the advanced workloads in Azure so we could do proactive reporting as well. So in your scenario, right, what if we can tie into Waze, API of Waze, where you know how Waze tells you there's pothole and whatnot. What if through that mechanism, the reporting comes through Waze? We don't have to wait for somebody to report. But like what Paul is saying, what if the streetlight's gone bad and because the bulb went out, it could self-report and say, hey, my bulb's out. Let's take it further. What about machine learning? Part of Citizen Services, we have the ability to integrate machine learning in the IoT integration where I can run an analysis in the next 3 months, tell me which lights would most likely go bad. So I'm just going to send a truck out 2 weeks before to go change all the bulbs. So all these are included in citizen services. And the value proposition for any city or municipality or any town is a lot of them, frankly, especially in North America, they've embraced the Microsoft Cloud, Office 365, Azure and Dynamics 365. So it's the idea of being able to do new with less. We know that government agencies are strapped with budget. Resources are always an issue. But what if with their existing Microsoft investment and with this line of business solution that can tap on to their existing investment, allow them to provide solutions like this that are more proactive and that enables them, frankly, at the end of the day, better serve their citizens without having custom code, without the traditional hiring, you know, a big consultancy to come up with this fancy solution, but really more of a turnkey solution and being able to deploy it from AppSource.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. So AvePoint Citizen Services is deployed inside of, it's a solution you can get via AppSource. That's correct, right? That's what you were saying earlier. So how does somebody go about actually like going to get it? Is it just like a store experience? I mean, someone who has no experience with AppSource, how would you describe what this is? How would you describe exactly how someone could get on board with this? Do they need to contact you guys first, or can they just go straight to it just like a normal store?
So they can just go straight to the AppSource interface and click the try button. And they just need to log on with any Microsoft account, a Microsoft school or work account, and click try, and they're off to the races. And so, you know, sort of from to geek out a little bit on the technical, because we were one of those initial ISVs listing our apps in AppSource, there was a pretty high bar in terms of the quality that we needed to provide in a trial experience. And the challenge that was laid down for us is that in, you know, one or two clicks and in seconds, not minutes, we wanted the customer to be, or the potential customer to be in a real world scenario with IoT lights lit up, with various cases in various states, and just completely immersed in a solution. And as you can imagine, that's an engineering challenge. And so we went through a lot of various designs, but essentially came up with a design where we stood up a whole bunch of, we use CRM Online as the back end of this solution. We stood up a bunch of those, tanked it up with a bunch of data. And then every time a new person clicks on that try button, we wire them up to one of the available instances that already has the IoT lights, that already has a bunch of service requests in flight, and they get dropped in within a number of seconds. So it's a great experience. Took a lot of engineering overhead for us, and there's some trickery that we do to make sure that we never run out of instances and stuff like that. But it was a fun and rewarding process. But and actually kind of looked to the latest implementation of it. Is it MicrosoftOfficeDemos.com or whatever that is, where you can spin up a whole new tenant. And these days it takes, you know, a second and you've got all that data. So we kind of used that as a template in a way.
Mm. Hey, AC, why don't we take this quick opportunity to thank some of the fantastic sponsors on the show that make this possible.
Sounds good to me.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by ShareGate. ShareGate makes it easier for organizations to adopt and use the latest Microsoft productivity tools, helping millions of users to be happier and more productive at work. ShareGate is trusted by over 10,000 IT admins from over 110 countries to manage, migrate, and secure their SharePoint and Office 365 environments. ShareGate is recognized as the must-have tool for day-to-day administration of on-premises, cloud, and hybrid environments. Interested in learning more? Check them out at ShareGate.com to learn how ShareGate can make you more productive.
All right, so I work at Hyperfish. We're going through AppSource onboarding right now. We're probably having a much smoother path than you guys did a little while back. But you know, one thing that sort of occurred to me as we've gone through this is it seems like a bit of an amalgam of where some of the data is coming from about who gets listed and in what categories and so forth. I noticed we're being onboarded as a SaaS application, but there's also Office 365 apps that are showing up in there as well that have come from the Office Store. So what was your experience like onboarding, I guess, in the early days? And what have you found that sort of changed with AppSource over the last 12 months as it's come to market?
I did a lot of that kind of initial publishing work, so I'll answer that. It was kind of a mix. It was a rough process at the very beginning. They hadn't ironed out the entire publishing process. Some of the form fields that you had to fill out, you know, you actually had to provide in like JSON format and kind of funny things like that.
They haven't ironed that out. That's still...
but the flip side of that is because we were so early, I could pick up the phone and talk to the program manager night and day.
Nice.
And so they really were great to work with in that regard. And, you know, outside of that, it was pretty smooth sailing. There's a really nice, as you probably know, a nice integration into, as an ISV, into your internal CRM system. So everybody that clicks on that try button, we get a lead written into our system, and they support a number of different systems. We're using Dynamics because we're good Microsoft citizens, and those get routed to the appropriate, you know, reps and regions and so forth internally.
I see. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. So AppSource seems to provide a couple of different options for users to start or get involved with an application that they find. They can either sort of register an opportunity in your system or a get in touch with me, I'm interested option. But they can also just dive straight into a trial as well. Is that what it sounds like? That's what you guys opted for, right? To click start a trial and onboard straight into your application and get up and running.
100%. So we took on that challenge where they want, in no more than 5 seconds, the customer being able to try the application right away. So as Paul was describing earlier, the ability to experience this demo, such similar to the Office demos. And in addition, when customers try it, they get an email with instruction and guidance on how to step through the demo environment. So they get the trial, we get contacted with the leads, and then we follow up. And hopefully it's something that they're interested in. In fact, we have a couple of potential customers we're talking to right now.
Excellent. Nice. That's really interesting. What sort of capabilities do you take advantage of from the Microsoft stack and as part of Citizen Services? From a technology building block point of view, obviously you guys mentioned you're good Microsoft citizens, so I'm assuming you're all based on Azure and things like that. But what sort of components of your solution and application do you take advantage of?
In kind of broad strokes, first of all, yes, everything's up in Azure. There are the SaaS portals that we provide where all the customers and citizens and visitors and so forth interact. And those are hosted in AppPoint's Azure subscription. And then we've got a PaaS built, what we call, it's an internal AppPoint IP called the Data Broker Service Platform. And you can kind of think about it almost like BizTalk, right? It makes it really easy to integrate with anything that has an API. And we use it to talk to all the various CRM tenants that are on the back end and as well as external systems. And then we have the customer CRM online, which obviously lives in Azure. We're using Power BI embedded to run our reports. And then for those customers that have opted to light up the IoT and Azure machine learning capabilities, we have an ARM template that stamps out the required infrastructure to host that in their own Azure subscription. So that's the IoT hub, stream analytics, event hubs, all that kind of stuff. We can kind of get them up to speed very quickly with a template. And then lastly, in terms of the broad building blocks, we have, you might call it an IoT to CRM adapter. And that's the guy that kind of says, hey, I can see that this streetlight's about to go bad. Let's go ahead and write a ticket automatically. So those are the higher level building blocks.
Nice.
So you mentioned a lot of the higher level building blocks. I'm curious, what other kind of integrations are you guys using, or how like would developers kind of be able to hook into this with like things like, you know, are you doing anything with like say the bot service or like the Cortana or cognitive APIs or any like webhook? Is there stuff that like developers that, like somebody like me, could I go through and I could extend the stuff that you guys have done for a customer of mine that may be a subscriber of the AppPoint Citizen Services?
Yeah, so there's sort of two questions there. One is, what are we providing to the developer community? And we have released two things to get started. One is we have a web API, which adheres to the OPEN 311 protocol. And if you're not familiar with that, that's a protocol, sort of universal protocol for government systems, especially 311 type systems, so that you can kind of access them all the same. And in fact, a lot of governments will make their 311 data available to the public, and you could just write code. That's how we did a lot of our initial testing, is to write code against those data sets using the Open 301 API. At any rate, we've exposed that for ourselves, for Citizen Services, and we've provided some asynchronous events where we can register webhooks, so we can call into your own systems. And we have, actually, if you go to GitHub, to the AppPoint space, we've published a couple of sample packages that use one or a combination of those two mechanisms to create some solutions. For example, you know, when a service request is marked as completed, it writes into like a SharePoint or SharePoint online task list. Just something simple like that, but kind of shows how to use those things. And then to answer the other part of your question, some of the newer and more sophisticated and sexy services in Azure are developing right now a chatbot, right? So one of the things about Citizen Services that you'll hear a lot in terms of trends and technology is this idea of no wrong door, right? So I want my mother-in-law, who's 80 years old, to be able to communicate with the government with the way she wants to by picking up the phone, as well as my niece, who wants to use like WeChat or something to communicate with the government, right? And so one of the ways we're doing that is providing multiple channels, right? And one of them is using the chatbot service, right? And we're starting off with a Skype chatbot. The other one that you actually mentioned, which is interesting, is cognitive APIs. And it's fun. I don't know how much you guys have messed with the cognitive APIs and the image recognition, but they get better all the time, right? I have like a set of images that I'll upload like every month, and the richness of the data that comes back in terms of the recognition gets better month after month after month. But if you can imagine a scenario where you take a picture of that pothole and that's all you got to do, it recognizes it's a pothole, it knows where you are, it knows that whether other people have reported it already, and you just kind of like one click and go. Those are the types of gestures and experiences that we're trying to light up using these more sophisticated Azure features. And then lastly, to close out that thought, is one of the things that's hard but interesting is making a workflow that works for, you know, your tiny mom-pa shop government as well as a larger one, and having a workflow that applies to everybody. And one of the ways we do that is by providing a sort of minimally viable workflow out of the box that you can extend and sort of disable and enable different portions of it. And we're actually looking at using Flow to augment those workflows and publishing like custom actions that people can sort of opt into and stuff like that. So this next few months, we have a lot of really interesting stuff. All the things I mentioned are actually on the roadmap over the next few months.
That's really cool. Where can people go to learn more about all the developer stuff? Is this stuff that you've published like a roadmap to where people can go look at it? Or is there a place that they kind of stay abreast of what you guys are doing or get into maybe like a beta program or something?
So the developer guide, that stuff you can find on GitHub. We have not published a public roadmap yet, just because the nature of roadmaps and how they change. And some people read them and read it as a promise instead of a plan. So the best thing you can do is go to apppoint.com and go to the citizen services page, and you kind of see all the latest capabilities and reach out to us if you're interested in what's kind of coming up.
Oh, cool. So that sounds pretty sophisticated from a technology perspective, pretty straightforward to get listed and go through the onboarding and stuff with AppSource. One more thing I'd like to ask you about your experience with AppSource is, so once you're listed, is it kind of like that Wayne's World, you know, if you build it, they will come? Or what does Microsoft do beyond just getting you on a web page in AppSource? Like, because it seems to me like their idea is sort of a bigger program around driving awareness and adoption to these solutions. So what's your experience been with Microsoft about helping you drive awareness and you know, eyeballs to your solution?
So no, that's a great question, CJ. So for us, we've been very fortunate that not only we're working closely with the CNE team, which is helping drive AppSource, but apart from all the marketing they're doing, we work closely with a lot of the field teams as well, especially in public sector. So there's a lot of motions that we're doing, not only in North America, but around the world. So for us, we're working with the CNE team that helps pushing AppSource, but also the worldwide public sector team and all the field sales teams to help push it. And internally as AppPoint, we have dedicated sellers just pushing and selling citizen services as well. So at the end of the day, certainly Microsoft will support and help as much as they can, but as a business, it's incumbent upon us to really put together a solid sales campaign, marketing campaign to help drive and push the solution.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's fair.
I might just add on to that, CJ, from a sort of technology standpoint and on the AppSource side, is that they have a pretty interesting and aggressive roadmap with regard to providing additional information, right? So adding value to listing your solutions there. So we already talked about the notion of leads automatically being written into your CRM system of choice, but they're also starting to provide information about the sort of like telemetry and usage data from your particular app details page, right? How many conversions are you getting? How long are people spending on there? Where are they clicking? All that kind of stuff. So those things are pretty interesting too.
Oh, nice. Good set of telemetry.
Drink. You said the telemetry word.
Telemetry. Yeah, nice.
Drink with your perfect ice.
There we go.
Hey, don't mock the ice, man.
I'm not mocking. I'm very jealous.
Once you've had a cocktail with perfect ice, you'll never go back.
Well, if that's telemetry with perfect ice, does that mean you have like a, you know, zero standard deviation? You're like nailing it?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm cutting it. There you go.
Ah,
I'm cutting the ice due to telemetry. Yeah, bad joke. Yeah. Anyway, hey AC, anything from you before we let these guys get back to real work? Then telemetry cocktail.
There you go. The telemetry drink. This has been really interesting. I knew nothing about this leading into it. I was not at WPC last year and did not see the keynote, but this has been. It's really interesting, and it sounds like an absolutely massive solution too. So, I mean, kudos to you guys for putting this together and seeing it getting recognized by Microsoft with it. And thank you very much for, you know, coming to talk to us about it and let our listeners know about not only what AppSource is, but also what AppPoint Citizen Services is. It's very interesting to hear all the stuff that you guys are leveraging in the cloud, the Microsoft Intelligent Cloud, to be able to facilitate something like this.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Hey, you're very welcome. Hey, we also do one more thing on the show that we thought we'd just throw at you ad hoc, you know, just to see how you do, because we do this to all of our guests. So we call it Picks. And What picks are little interesting tidbits of things that you've seen on the internet or learned about, or, you know, some gadget you've bought. It doesn't have to do anything to do with the Microsoft Cloud. In fact, anything to do with technology doesn't really matter. AC and I do these picks on the show. So we have one each that we thought we'd get started with. But if you guys have some sort of pick for our audience that you want to share, then we'll offer you the opportunity to let them in on something you've learned in the last little while, or something you've you know, that you use in your daily life. So AC, what's your pick this week, buddy?
Are we going to do one, or are we going to do two? How many you want to do?
Oh, you can do a couple. Feel free. I know you usually have a good set, so go for it.
Yes, I have two here that I want to share. One of them's a developer thing, and one of them I think is going to be a little bit hitting close to home for you, CJ. So one of them is the JavaScript 2017, or whatever you want to call it, ECMAScript 2017. The final feature set was actually nailed this past week. There are six major things that are in, or six significant things that are in there. Two of them are fairly major. I have a link in the show notes about this, but one of them is asynchronous functions, or async functions. So async and await, we didn't have that in the past. It was rumored to be coming into this. It was getting closer. That's where we are now. And this is the, again, just so everybody that doesn't know how this works, is that they, TC39, the technical community 39, they figure out all the different things that are going to be in the next version of JavaScript. And we are right now, we're at stage four. Stage four is basically the last stage that we get to, that we consider it like feature complete. So that's one of the features. The other one is this thing called shared memory and atomics. I'm not even going to try and act like I know what the heck this is. I've read the article. I've read it twice, actually. I got a cup of coffee and I read it halfway through a third time and just said, it looks really cool. I might be using this. So whatever.
Gotcha.
But my other pick, you might like this, is by, it's on a website called Get Remarkable. So it's a company called Remarkable. And what they have is a tablet looking thing. It's about the size of, looks like it's about the size of an iPad, but it's a paper tablet. And it looks, without the fold, it looks just like the old Microsoft Courier that we were looking at. You can write on it. You can read PDFs on it. You can draw on it. It's got a very long battery life, got a nice long storage. Well, for our listeners, it kind of sucks because, hey, the launch offer ends in the next 46 hours. So, CJ, you've got less than 2 days to convince your wife that you not only need to get a new toy, not just perfectly clear ice, but the site getremarkable.com, you can go take a look at it. And those are my two picks. I've got to wrap the podcast up soon because I've got to go make my perfectly clear coffee in just a minute. So I'll let you go with your picks next.
I'm not going to live this down, am I?
No.
Excellent. Fair enough too. Hey, so why don't we turn this over to our guests? Paul, do you have anything in mind that you want to share with our audience?
I'll tell you about a really silly one that I was kind of marveling over the other day. I have an interest in machine learning, as I'm sure you guys do too, and knowing the stuff you work on. But I've heard about this app called Akinator the Genie. And what it does, you can do, is it's sort of this AI bot that you can talk to on like an iPhone app. And it's basically you play 20 questions with it. And it will, you can think of, you know, I can think of the name, you know, whatever, Andrew Connell. And it'll ask me all these questions. And it is incredible, no matter how obscure you get, that it can ask you the right set of questions where it kind of comes up with this Venn diagram where it will narrow it down to the individual that you're thinking of very quickly. So that's something I was kind of marveling over.
That's pretty cool. Nice. Well, we'll have to get a link for this off you, and we'll publish it in the show notes so people can find this stuff. Hey, I've got one, AC.
Shoot.
It's called, pretty sweet, much like my clear eyes, completely useless. Well, not completely useless, but close to it. It's an F1 brake disc clock from Force India, or Sahara Force India F1 team.
I saw that.
You can go on a website called mementoexclusives.com, and they've got this clock that you hang on the wall, and it's made out of a used raced brake disc from a Formula One team, which I guess it's not completely useless. It tells you the time. But close to it, yeah.
And to be fair, too, it's not fully used because, I mean, it's coming from Force India, so it never really makes it through the whole race. So
I was going to say, I wonder if the clock runs behind.
I'm always 30 minutes late to my meeting.
It's a bit cruel. It's always like 5 seconds slower than all the other clocks. Yeah.
But it's very impressive. Always very impressive.
Yeah, bit of a burn. Hey, so Dux, do you have any interesting picks for our audience?
Absolutely, CJ. You know, I'm a big productivity nut, and I'm always constantly looking for the perfect productivity solution to get things done and maximize my time. So towards the end of 2016, I came across this thing called Panda Planner. So I bought it, and boy, I'm loving it. We're already a month into 2017, and I'm still using it. Essentially, Panda Planner combines your personal task and professional task and allows you to prioritize and focus on what you need to work on. And also, they have sections on what you're grateful for, what you want to dominate and accomplish for the week, what habits you want to form, and then allows you to reflect at the end of the week on things you've accomplished, things you didn't accomplish, and you wish to accomplish, and what you need to work on next week. So far, it's working for me. I encourage you all to check it out and try it out.
Wow, that's nice. I'll definitely have to check that out. I'm pretty sure AC is his quest in life is to find the perfect task management tool. So this might be another one for him to give a shot. I think he's tried them all. Yeah.
Pretty much. I haven't tried Panda Planner though.
Excellent. Well, you know, thanks guys. We really appreciate you guys coming on the show, talking to us about AvePoint Citizen Services. And also, obviously, Microsoft AppSource and your experience. So, thanks again for making the time and coming on the show. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we hope our listeners have enjoyed this as well and learning a bunch more about AppSource and what it's all about and so forth. And also, obviously, AvePoint Citizen Services, what that solution offers. And you can all go wander down to your local municipality, by the sounds of it, and go get them to the cloud and get them on AvePoint Citizen Services. So, yeah, thanks again for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide us a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes for each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading to our website and entering your email to interact with us. Participate in upcoming interviews and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.